We're talking with Dr. Brian Arnall from Oklahoma State University. Brian, you're talking here today here at the Oklahoma Ag Expo about some of the ways that we can kind of protect the amount of nutrients that we've got in our soil profile, how we can kind of hang on to some of those supplies that we've kind of built up and stockpiled. How important is that to a producer?
So when it comes to maintaining or reducing nutrient losses, as far as the producer goes, it's twofold. One, you're investing in that nutrient. So there's already that input cost that you have. You not only have the input cost, but you have the cost of application. So you have that cost right there. Also, you're putting a nutrient on because you expect it to be utilized by a crop. So if it gets lost to the environment one way or the other, it's no longer there to be utilized by a crop. And so you're not only out what you paid, but you're out potential profit in the long run. And another aspect that I'm really going to spend a lot of time on is the environmental side. If we look around the nation, the importance of environmental stewardship as it goes, whether you're talking about the Chesapeake Bay, the Des Moines watershed, the Great Lakes, or even eastern Oklahoma, nutrient management and making sure that we as an agricultural sector do our best to keep the nutrients that we apply where we apply them is really important on the sustainability of our system.
I guess you cringe a little bit when you see those stories about the Mississippi River and the dead zone there at the mouth.
Yeah, and that, you know, unfortunately these things are extremely visible. The Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, and, you know, coming from Oklahoma up in the eastern part, you know, all the problems we had in Uchi and Spavinaw back in the days where we had a lot of poultry litter applied in that region. So it's a very visible problem. It's not like some of the other problems we may have, which are hidden problems. When you have a algae bloom, dead zones, it hits the news.
The technology that we've developed, the precision agriculture approach to producing our crops, that really has helped us in pinpointing the amount of nutrients needed and how we get them to the crop, right?
Yeah, so it's a multifaceted approach what you have to look at. One of the techniques that we call is the 4 R's, the right place, the right time, the right rate, and the right source for nitrogen, phosphorus. And so not only does it take the technology of determining what the right rate is, but it also takes the technology of equipment to apply it in a manner efficiently and effectively enough and in the right way so it can be used to the best of its ability.
How does a farmer basically maximize his investment in the nutrients that he's buying for his crops?
So some of that has a little bit of an impact on the scale that they're working at. You know, one of the ways some of our smaller wheat farmers are maximizing their nutrient efficiencies, especially nitrogen, is when they use urea, is they're running their grain drills and putting urea with their grain drill. And this has been done on quite a few of our smaller producers are doing that. Now, this isn't something to be done for a 10,000-acre farm out west, but a producer with a couple hundred to a couple thousand is actually capable to do that, and it really makes it more efficient. On the larger scale, more and more producers are using their air seeders to apply their phosphorus and variable rate phosphorus, and that not only makes it more efficient because it's in the soil, it prevents loss because it can't be lost via runoff, but you also, most of these air seeders have the capability to do variable rate. So now you can do your variable rate and your right rate across the field.
You've always been a big proponent of nutrient strips, being able to get a good handle on what's available in the soil and then be able to adjust on the fly.
Yeah, this year of any year, I see that it's really going to push for nutrient strips, specifically nitrogen strips in our wheat crop. You know, we had a lot of anhydrous go out early in August. How much of that's left? Because we've had a really relatively wet fall. We might have a lot of losses, but we've also got a significant amount of growth that can happen with any of that early planted wheat. And then on the other side, there's a lot of just reduced inputs. So those nitrogen-rich strips are going to be extremely important this year. We're also working with the implementation of phosphorus-rich strips so that we could use that same approach for phosphorus nutrition for wheat primarily right now.
I know that your colleague Kim Anderson's kind of preached quite a bit about the need to try to produce manage your wheat in such a way that you get a higher quality, a higher protein, especially the nutrients that you work with are the key, I know.
Yeah, so, you know, protein is actually just a conversion from total nitrogen in the grain. So you measure how much nitrogen is in the grain, multiply it by a factor of 5.7, and now you have protein. And so it's extremely important. Half of what we can do in our winter wheat production is delay nitrogen application, making sure that it's on during peak growth times, which is from hollow stem on to grain fill. And so we've got some experiments or some demonstrations going out. We're going to call it the protein progression, comparing all nitrogen pre versus a split and other techniques to improve that and show where we get some of the biggest bang for our bucks in maintaining protein. And the ultimate goal is actually just maximizing yield, where as long as you're maximizing yield, you're probably going to be okay on protein. What I get scared on some of these fields that have really low protein is it's also a sign that there could have been a lot of yield loss too.
Right. So you're kind of theorizing that the later you, if you're able to delay that last shot of nitrogen, that can really help protein.
Yeah, a lot of the work we've shown on just going from a full pre to a split will on a regular basis improve protein. And what we're also showing now is even with our end season, our top dresses, timing that as close to hollow stem as possible is providing for the same amount of nitrogen, providing more yield and more protein in the long run.